Hey, everybody. A historic night in Iowa. What it means for the rest of the country. And as we unpack the Iowa caucus results, email us as always freedom@charliekirk.com and subscribe to our podcast. Become a member. We did 7 hours of streaming on election day. Go to members.charliekirk.com. That's members.charliekirk.com. It's affordable for all income levels. You can listen to the show advertiser free. Go to members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. Email us as always freedom@charliekirk.com and subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show and get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. Feels good to win one. Look, it's not the championship. But it's also not a preseason game. Let's be honest. This was a regular season game. This was like winning on Monday Night Football. Big game. Lots of eyeballs. And, you know, I wanted to send out a pretty declarative victory tweet last night. Andrew was right. He said, look, it's a primary. But I don't think it's the equivalent of a preseason game where the games mean nothing. It's a regular season primetime game. It was a big deal what happened last night. We were covering it. Thank you guys that were watching. Thank you to Real America's Voice for taking our stream. We did 7 hours yesterday, 7 hours of broadcasting, and we have another three coming up. We're going to be doing basically event. It's going to be 10 hours of broadcasting in 24 hours, and I got more energy today than I've had in quite some time because it feels good to be back in the game. No more speculation, no more guessing, and that's always been the argument by the DeSantis people. And I really like DeSantis. He's done a great job in Florida. He's America's greatest governor. And right on cue, I'm about to get 100 angry emails. You ready, Blake? Ryan? Right now, as soon as I compliment DeSantis, people get very, very angry. But it's true. He's been a terrible candidate. He should have dropped out. He shouldn't have spent that $125 million. We're going to go through all of that. But the DeSantis people always told us, hey, these polls mean nothing. Just wait till the Iowa results. Wait for the Iowa results. It's all in on Iowa. In fact, Eric Erickson, who allegedly hosts the radio program, he says, oh, take it to the bank in early December. Ron DeSantis is going to win Iowa. I mean, all these tweets that they were sending. And, you know, we kind of kept our cool. We said, yeah, we think Trump's going to win Iowa, but you never know. Iowa's tricky. And we were pretty even here on this program. We didn't overpredict. We said, hey, if Trump wins by 10, it will still be a win. Donald Trump won by 30 points last night. He eclipsed the 50% mark. And in a caucus that is extraordinary, everybody. Iowa is notorious for close races and for it hard to poll in frigid temperatures. This is a massive and triumphant victory for the movement that refuses to die. It is the movement that has had multiple assassination attempts against us. There have been multiple attempts to take us out. Whether it be the reaction of January 6th, taking us out on social media. Think about how low we were. I want to go back. Today is January 16th, 2024. I want you to think about what was happening on January 16th, 2021. January 16, 2021, the FBI had announced a massive dragnet operation to go after everybody remotely connected to January 6th. The second impeachment of Donald Trump had already passed the House, and it was sending it to the Senate. Donald Trump's approval ratings were collapsing. Voter registration numbers for Republicans were going south. Donald Trump was kicked off of Twitter. Parler was eliminated. We had almost no place to communicate on social media. We were still doing our show. our broadcast here. And we were seeing all of a sudden, we weren't getting YouTube numbers. We weren't getting Facebook numbers. It was the Great Suppression. In fact, John Brennan and many others were saying that we have to expand our security state against conservatives, libertarians, patriots. It was a call to action to finish them. Joe Biden becomes president on the 20th of January, 2021. And instead of trying to unify the country, it was a declaration of war. And boy, did they get to work. They called moms and dads domestic terrorists and put them on special watch lists. They infiltrated political groups. They used and abused the FISA surveillance. Donald Trump was put on the in the equivalent of Alba, exile, like Napoleon to an island, to Mar-a-Lago. Politicians didn't go visit Donald Trump very much in January, February, or March of 2021. He was, quote unquote, toxic. Now, I did. I could actually go dig up the picture. I went and hung out with him in February. I didn't care. I was like, whatever. In February 2021, I went down to Mar-a-Lago. We had a great time. But he was considered to be damaged goods. Post January 6th, no one wanted to get near Donald Trump, that he was going to bring down all the Republicans, that he was just going to be a terrible weight, just unspeakably heavy. I want you to think about how much despair there was in the movement. But credit to all of you, and honestly, credit to this program, credit to Turning Point Action, credit to Turning Point USA, because we just showed up and we went to work every single day. Went to work every single day. And we did the tough stuff. And I am far from celebrating the ultimate victory because we want to win the Super Bowl, right? This is a regular season Monday night football win. That's what I'm going to say. It was hyped up. That's all it is. This was a regular season win. Wasn't preseason. Wasn't even a playoff win. This is a regular season win. But it feels good to be back in the game. And the movement they tried to extinguish sent a message yesterday that not only are we alive, but we are commanding the Republican Party. Despite all of your attempts to use, manipulate, smear, and slander, that the core ethos of the movement remains alive and well. We do not want mass immigration from the third world. We want a border. We want a language that can unify us together. We do not want out-of-control tech companies calling shots. We do not want Davos and the World Economic Forum reigning supreme over our sovereignty. We don't want our kids to be groomed. We want Congress to balance a budget. We do not want to have $2 trillion deficits. We do not want to have China and the Chinese Communist Party to continue to expand. We do not want to have hundreds of billions of dollars funding a proxy war of Ukraine v. Russia. The core ethos, the message that is animating the MAGA movement is dominant. Is dominant. And the energy and the spirit was on full display yesterday in Iowa. And what I love is finally, after 3 years, we don't have to guess. The guesswork is over. It is real results, real data. Steve Hilton, who I really respect on Fox News, and I was watching it passively before I left the office, and he said something I really liked. He said, in his opinion, Donald Trump's triumphant victory here in Iowa is a bigger deal to him than even his shock victory in 2016. Now, I'm not sure if I agree with that. Winning the presidency against Hillary Clinton was pretty unbelievable, but his point was really smart. And I thought about it all night. They raided Mar-a-Lago. They've indicted him in four separate jurisdictions on hundreds of things. He's facing 700 years in federal prison. They're trying to take his business empire from him. They kicked him off of social media. They made him start his own social media app. This is the closest that any modern American political figure, especially former president, has reached to exile and pseudo-metaphorical political assassination. But they made Trump into a martyr. And understand, the rules of Trump do not apply to anybody else. This guy is unique. He is a force of nature. And the movement yesterday said, yeah, I don't care what the New York Times says. I don't care what MSNBC says. I don't care what the Washington Post says. I don't care what Jack Smith does. I'm going to make my own decision. And that sort of decentralized, populist, people-powered movement is terrifying the bad guys. And it wasn't as if Trump had a cakewalk. We're going to get into the numbers. They're extraordinary. Hundreds of millions of dollars spent against Donald Trump. The Koch brothers pumping in money for Nikki Haley. Ron DeSantis doing a full Grassley. 99 counties. And you still lose by 30. This is a big win, everybody. And the media is going to try to say, oh, it's just a primary. No, this is a real win. This is a real thing. Onward to New Hampshire. We're going to talk about New Hampshire, but the primary is effectively over. And those of you that showed up, that worked, that didn't give up from across the country, this is not the ultimate celebration, but honestly, you guys deserve at least a day where you could feel good about yourself. And you should enjoy that. You should, because you've earned it. Dark clouds are gathering as markets shudder. Stocks are sinking and currency stumbling. Fear and uncertainty reign. The Middle East, Ukraine, Taiwan, the debt, it is endless. Yet one asset historically stands firm. It is gold. In crisis after crisis, gold is there in the background. Its enduring value guards against loss, like a missile shield against incoming. If paper wealth burns, gold has shown the strength to persist. Noble Gold says to shield your savings against looming threats, war, recession, contagion, and avoid the frenzied panic of the unprepared. Noble Gold says take control in the chaos. Brave warriors say that fortune favors decisive action. Noble warns to get a hold of gold now before the price could be out of reach. Right now, Noble Gold Investments offers a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin with every new IRA. Claim your free coin today as this new storm gathers, panic looms, and some of the places you were thinking of for your money, well, they don't look so clever anymore. We balance our asset mix to shield a future from disaster. Research opening a Noble Gold Investments IRA to claim your free bullion coin today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com now. NobleGoldInvestments.com, the only gold company I could personally speak of for their service. Colin does an amazing job at NobleGoldInvestments.com. So the final results are remarkable. It is by far the greatest success of any Republican candidate running in the history of the Iowa caucus that had any competitor. Obviously, when Trump ran unopposed, he won everything. Now, he won every single county except one, Johnson County, where Nikki Haley beat him by one vote, allegedly. And that's where the University of Iowa is, Iowa City, so they can have it. So he won 98 out of 99 counties. I have a lot of respect for Ron DeSantis, what he's done in Florida. He has run a terrible campaign. He has not listened to a piece of advice that we've given both privately and publicly because we wanted to see everybody do their best. We did everything we could to try to get Ron DeSantis to attend our Turning Point Action Conference in his home state of Florida over the summer. We did our best to try to get Ron DeSantis to come to America Fest because he wants to be the nominee. So face your voters, man. It's in the home state of Florida. And by the way, Ron DeSantis, we did this huge tour with Ron DeSantis in the fall of 2022. We took him on tour and it was really great. And I guess he was afraid to face the Trump voters. And this is one of the reasons why he did so poorly. He can't face voters. He's afraid he's going to get booed. And then this is just a ridiculous speech. And I say this with great amount of respect, but I'm very honest with you guys. And by the way, the emails are flooding and people are so angry I'm saying good things about DeSantis. I don't care. It's true. He's a great governor. We need more governors like DeSantis. He should have a political future, but he has had a very, very bad year. However, this speech drives me nuts. You got to be honest, man. Don't lie to people. In fact, one of the lines that DeSantis once used, he said, don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining. Ron, you had a bad night, man. You went all in. You had a $125 million super PAC. You visited every single county. You got the endorsement from the governor, the endorsement from all the evangelical leaders, and you lose by 30. It's not going to get better from here. It's not. And instead, you should use whatever precious resources are left in your PAC. Bow out, for it's too late. If it's $20 million, $30 million, $40 million, can we find out, Blake, how much money he has left in his PAC? And go hire ballot chasers, early state infrastructure, and get us prepared to win, to defeat the Democrat Party in November, whoever they nominate. Whether it be Biden, Michelle Obama, Gavin Newsom, every day is precious. From this point forward, every single day that Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley remain in this race is a gift to Joe Biden. Let me say that again. Every single day that Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley remain in the presidential race is an in-kind multi-million dollar contribution to the Democrat Party. You guys had your opportunity. We gave you Iowa. We said, let's see. And we saw. And this was going to be the closest of all of them. Now, we'll get to New Hampshire. New Hampshire is going to be a sneaky Democrat operation. where Nikki Haley is going to try to do some stuff. We'll get to that. But I'm going to focus on Ron DeSantis here. How tone deaf? What planet is this? Is that Ron DeSantis is acting as if this is a 5-point race? Play cut 48.
We love you too. They threw everything but the kitchen sink at us. The media was against us. They were writing our obituary months ago. They even called the election before people even got a chance to vote.
I got to be honest, Ron DeSantis. What are you doing, man? And they're blaming the media on this. Let me tell you what happened with the media thing. There's a little bit of truth to it, but it's not what they're talking about, okay? Here's what happened. The Iowa caucus was supposed to start at, I think, 7 p.m. Some were delayed by 10 or 15 minutes. We were sitting here on air, and right around 35 minutes, 40 minutes past the hour, the media called it for Trump. And it turns out they were right. They were using projection modeling data. And DeSantis is really mad because some caucuses were still underway and people were getting push notifications and they were getting alerts on their phone that Trump has won. And it turns out they were right. You're trying to tell me that's a 30-point swing? Not even close. And so now they're focusing on how the media is in cahoots. I'll be honest, DeSantis team, you guys are losing a lot of the trust and the credibility that you've built up with how good of a governor you were, that you are acting like out of control social justice warrior, purple hair jihadis. Enough with this. That somehow Donald Trump is in collusion with the mainstream media? I have so much respect for you guys. Stop ruining your credibility. How about you just suck it up and be like, you know what? You know what I would like the DeSantis team said instead of whining? They were whining. You know what they should have said? They should have said, man, Trump is a once in a 100-year political force. We gave it our all. This is not what we wanted. Back to you soon. Fine. I would have been fine with that. So they're complaining about the media colluding and that you gave it our all and that we had a great night. You guys lost by 30. It would be like the Philadelphia Eagles doing a press conference after getting your clock cleaned by the Bucks and be like, what a great victory. Yeah, you're not moving on to the divisional round. You're done. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. If you owe back taxes, happy new year. The party's over. The IRS is mailing millions pay up letters. Millions. Then it's over to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why target you and not millionaires? Because millionaires have lawyers and you don't. You'll pay up plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you because Tax Networks USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. Schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. Call 1-800-245-6000. Again, call 1-800-245-6000 or visit TNUSA.com/Charlie, TNUSA.com/Charlie. Joining us now is Kash Patel. Kash, your reaction to the triumph last evening in Iowa. Your thoughts?
Hey, Charlie. It was an all-out thumping. I mean, it doesn't matter how much the mainstream media moves the goalposts last night to today, 49-51. Oh, Haley did better than DeSantis or vice versa. The reality is caucus goers in Iowa came out in droves for Donald Trump for one reason. They are receptive of Donald Trump's policies. Donald Trump has put the national security agenda first and foremost, along with the economy, on the campaign trail. And Americans have received that in stark contrast to whatever Joe Biden is putting out there. But it's not like Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis have a better strategy. Otherwise, they would have voted for it.
So what is your reaction to Ron DeSantis being completely defiant and trying to spin this into a victory and saying we now have to go on to New Hampshire?
Look, he's a politician and Nikki Haley's doing the same thing. I mean, they're essentially lying through their teeth. They don't have a basis to stand on, but what they do have is, what, $75 million more from the Rhino establishment class and the iconoclast to go out there on the campaign trail and get funded by the defense industrial complex and the lobbyists in Washington, D.C. that want to see Donald Trump fail. So they're going to be well-funded. They were in Iowa, and they're going to put out headlines that don't jive with the factual ground game, but they're going to say, because the mainstream media is going to print it, because it's all in one effort to eliminate Donald Trump from the ballot. And whether it's a Republican or Democrat, at the end of the day, the mainstream media almost doesn't care. So they'll print their headlines, but America knows, and I think it's just a lie.
All right. So I have a funny question for you, Cash, and you're going to have to just hear me out. All right. So we have Joy Reid, who is claiming Nikki Haley is losing the GOP nomination because she's Indian. So you got Vivek, we got Nimarata, we got Cash Patel. You're uniquely positioned, Cash, to answer this question as the most, either the number one or the second most based Indian in the conservative movement. It's up there. Okay. And by the way, you're an American. I'm just being honest. Play cut 37, please.
New Hampshire.
And I think to the point that you made, Steph, I mean, it's the elephant in the room. She's still a brown lady that's got to try to win in a party that is deeply anti-immigrant and which accepts the notion that you can say immigrants are poisoning the blood of our country. She's getting, you know, birthered by Donald Trump. And I don't care how much the donor class likes her, which will ramp up a lot, the better she does in New Hampshire. So it's still a challenge. I don't see how she becomes the nominee of that party with Donald Trump still around. I can't picture it happening. Maybe it could happen.
All right, Cash. What's first of all, of all the objections I have of Nimarata Haley, not even one that would cross my mind is the Indian heritage. I mean that. I these people, the race lady, Joy Reid, she is such a shallow, singular thinking dolt. She's not a smart person, that she assumes that we sit in these rooms, Cash, and we want to, you know, wonder whether or not that, you know, who is the anti-immigrant. Just riff on this a little bit, Cash Patel, because, I mean, you're warmly welcomed in the MAGA movement. What's going on here?
You know, as the son of lawful immigrants, as a first generation kid who rose to the ranks of senior government, and Joy Reid, by the way, here's a fact for you. When I was chief of staff at the Department of Defense, when I was deputy director of national intelligence, I was the first minority in U.S. history to serve in those two roles. And President Donald J. Trump put me there. Not Obama, not Biden, not Bush, DJT. And this idiocy that they're rolling out about, you know, being brown and she can't win. It's the same lunacy that Fannie's running around with Lovebird 2.0 operation down in Georgia. Oh, she's a black woman, so she can commit illegalities and they'll cover for her. It makes no sense. They are running out of roadway. They are running out of policy. They are running out of anything to actually run on. So they do what Al Sharpton has always done. Pull the race card and lie. And some portion of their base will respond to it. But the singular fact is Donald Trump has done more for immigrants, for minorities, has promoted them throughout his government and his administration, and I think will continue to do so. And look, the Black and Latino movement going to Donald Trump in droves is just another example. It doesn't matter what Joy Reid says on MSNBC.
So look, I also just want to reiterate this for everyone keeping score at home, which is there is not a single person that I've ever encountered in the MAGA movement that doesn't like Nikki Haley that could care less about her heritage or her race. And by the way, I call her Nimarata because that's her name. I just think it's funny because it drives her nuts when you say that. But like, I, you know, like some of these low IQ people say, oh, Charlie, you're being racist. What do you mean being racist? I call Vivek Vivek, okay? I don't call him Vince, okay? It's not like Vivek. By the way, I have such credit for Vivek. He owned it, okay? It's not like Vivek started the run for the caucus and he said, call me Vince. Okay, he owned it. God bless him, all right? Her name's Nimarata and she changed to be Nikki and I don't like it, okay? But the point is this, is that they are so one-dimensional over on those cable networks. They act as if that we have this like pent-up bigotry or hatred. And it's actually the opposite, is that if you bring Cash or you bring Vivek to some of the whitest counties in Iowa, you'll get standing ovations at those Lincoln GOP dinners. Right, Cash? I'm sure if you look through who buys the books of Cash Patel, it is the whitest Christian counties across the country, because despite the caterwauling from these people on these cable networks, the MAGA movement is multiracial, it's multi-ethnic, and also it's not race-obsessed. It's not. It's actually the priority is merit, the priority is nation, the priority is if you're a conservative, you have great values. Cash, your thoughts.
Look, I think you're absolutely right. Donald Trump has always done one thing, put the best man or woman forward for the job, and that's how you defend this country. And when it comes to the race card, you're right. I do engagements across the country. I speak in rooms that I'm blessed to be in and have the support of so many great Americans. You want to know the irony of ironies? I've tried to get out there in the Indian American community and speak at Indian American engagements across this country. But because of people like Joey Reid, they've been so weaponized against people like me because of the lies they have told them. I have done one Indian American community engagement in the last 3 years. That should tell you everything you need to know about the status of the American people and how biased they are when it comes to putting forth American leaders and listening about national security, defense, and intelligence, because they'd rather listen to Joy Reid and say Donald Trump's a racist and anyone affiliated with him can't come and speak to our audience. It is shameful that the Indian American community in this country hasn't grasped onto some of the things we've done and succeeded in the Trump administration. And I, as an Indian American, will call them out for it. And I'll call out Joy Reid, but she's the problem, not the Indian American community.
So I want to riff on this a little bit more. I kind of go in another direction here. And the one of the talking points that they're pushing, and you got to take these seriously because unfortunately the media still has some power, especially in some of these states. And, you know, I was up way too late last night. I was talking to a really good friend. He's very, very accomplished, and he's a medical doctor, and he hates Biden. And he says, look, I'll probably suck up. This is his quote. He says, I'll suck it up. I'll probably vote for Trump. I didn't like that he won the primary in Iowa. He said, but I just don't like all this authoritarian stuff. I said, well, what do you mean? And I was on. He said, you know, I just keep on hearing on the news network that Trump is acting like a dictator. And for me, that was a little red flag because I said, boy, some of the stuff does penetrate, you know, mainstream opinion of the people we need to win. So we have to be very careful because, you know, we live in our own little world here and we reach millions of people. But for mainstream people, they're working hard. They might hear a 5-minute segment on NPR and it impacts them. And it's not their fault, right? They're being manipulated by the intel agencies. I want to play this piece of tape here, 47. I want you to respond to this idea that Donald Trump is Benito Mussolini. Play cut 47.
If we are worried about the rise of authoritarianism in this country, we are worried about potential rise of fascism in this country. If we're worried about our democracy falling to an authoritarian and potentially fascist form of government. The leader who is trying to do that is part of that equation. Mm-hmm. But people wanting that
Correct.
Is a much mm-hmm. bigger part mm-hmm. of that
That's
equation.
Right.
But once you have radicalized one major party so that those are the preferences of the people who adhere to your party, the leader's interchangeable. And yes, Trumpism is sometimes what we call it. Mm-hmm. MAGA movement is probably a better way to do it. But there is an authoritarian mm-hmm. movement inside yes. Republican politics that isn't being bamboozled by Trump. Mm-hmm. They are pushing Trump That's to right. get more and more That's extreme right. because the more extreme things he says,
the more they
adhere to him. Yeah.
Cash, you served with Donald Trump. What is your firsthand response to this nonsense that they're peddling?
Look, it's their next iteration of the disinformation campaign. It started with Russiagate, went to January 6th, onto the insurrection. They failed across all boards because we exposed the truth that Donald Trump was innocent and totally exonerated him. So now they're on to the dictator campaign. Now they're on to saying that Donald Trump, and you're right, Charlie, that there's people out there who get snippets of information and hear that. And they're like, oh my God, CNN and MSNBC just said Donald Trump might be a dictator. But look at the facts. Donald Trump wasn't the one who was a dictator ever in his presidency. On and before January 6th, he authorized the National Guard to secure the Capitol. Pelosi and Bowser shut it down. They were the insurrectionists. They were advancing the disinformation campaign. And they're using it today to stitch it to the end of the election cycle because that's their only way to kneecap Donald Trump. They know he never seized the military, never did anything close to it, and they don't want to talk about Joe Biden. So they'll come up with their disinformation campaign. And we just got to
In fact, that. One of the criticisms of Trump is that he didn't use executive power enough. I know that sounds wild, but there were opportunities where he could have even constitutionally embraced more executive power when it came even to the border or mass deportations. And he actually allowed the system of checks and balances and separation of powers to play it out. He was remarkably patient when it came to the constitutional structure. And I would have liked to see him embrace more of that energetic executive at times. And so it's the exact opposite. Cash, great work. How do people get your book, Cash?
Thanks so much. Governmentgangsters.com, Amazon. It's a bestseller. We appreciate your support. It is the roadmap to destroying the deep state. Get a copy right now and let's join the movement and help Donald Trump get elected.
Thanks so much, Cash. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks.
Hey, this is Charlie Kirk, and I know a lot of you have been suffering under the Biden economy. Recently, school loan payments have been reinstated, and for many, it's adding thousands to their monthly expenses. My friends, Andrew Del Rey and Todd Avakian, they're amazing. They really helped me through a tough situation recently. They've been excellent. They're ethical. They're just really great people. They're followers of Jesus Christ, and our worldviews are the same. I love them. And so please go to andrewandtodd.com. Interest rates are coming down, and they may be able to lower your overall payment. In fact, one of our team members said, Charlie, is it time to me to own a home? I sat down. I went through the numbers. I said, get in the owner game. Honestly, enough renting. You are burning your money renting. It might be a little bit more to own, but you're building equity. That's money you'll have for the rest of your life. Perhaps a reverse mortgage is a perfect solution. It's about expertise you could trust in times like this. I can't tell you how helpful they've been for me personally. They've just been excellent. Andrew and Todd, I'm honored to call them friends. We hang out when I go to Orange County together. They're really great. So say, hey, Charlie sent me 888-888-1172. That's 888-888-1172. They helped me through a mortgage situation recently that was super complex and moving pieces. And it was really, really tough. And other banks, by the way, wanted nothing to do with it. And they crushed it for me. 10 out of 10. Really loved working with Todd. He was just a delight. Andrew and Todd together. Todd especially, though. AndrewandTodd.com. So check it out right now. AndrewandTodd.com. He's coming on the show tomorrow. And I was just half joking around. My other favorite Indian. And I have a lot of respect for Vivek Ramaswamy. You know, people said, oh, you know, he underperformed all this. No. I judged the success of Vivek Ramaswamy's candidacy completely different. Number one, he moved the Overton window to build consensus and open eyes to try to get Ronna McRomney out as RNC chair. He did that. He went on an RNC debate stage and he had the courage and the spine and the stones to do that. Nobody else did. He deserves a ton of credit for that. Number two, I have never seen a candidate since Rand Paul running in 2015. It's been 8 years since I've seen a presidential candidate be able to red pill normies, young millennials, high IQ, high functioning, high income, highly educated people like Vivek Ramaswamy. I'm not as interested in the poll numbers. You know what I'm interested in? The fact that Vivek Ramaswamy was able to command and keep the attention of Elon Musk talking about immigration, national sovereignty, national unity, talking about anti-war agenda, rebuilding the middle class. Vivek Ramaswamy did that, not Ron DeSantis. Ron DeSantis had the worst Twitter space with Elon I've ever seen. Vivek, on a weekend, by the way, Elon's got a lot going on. He's got SpaceX. He's got Tesla. He's got SolarCity. He's got X. He's got investigated by the government. And Elon, his time is the most precious commodity for Elon. That's his own description of his life. And Elon spends hours with Vivek Ramaswamy learning from him, asking questions, saying that Vivek is the most interesting person running. David Sachs, who runs the All In podcast, who's great, has, at least from a tonal standpoint and a public appearance standpoint, seemed to go more center-right since he's engaged with Vivek. Vivek Ramaswamy has done a phenomenal job of being an elite red pill dispenser. And I know that might not resonate with some of you. I can't tell you how significant that is because we need it bottom-up, top-down. We need Donald Trump to win over the masses, but we need to try to peel off some of the people that we call the ruling class on the elites, people that run the institutions, people that run the companies, and Vivek Ramaswamy, because of his incredible talent for communication, his lexicon, his vocabulary, his diction, his syntax, his capacity to make hard arguments and to do it in a seamless way, very high IQ, very highbrow, was able to get people that otherwise would not have been interested in this primary. Ron DeSantis wasn't speaking to them. Nikki wasn't speaking to them. And Vivek Ramaswamy also did last night. It was a test for him. He showed us what he's made of. He didn't get the result he wanted electorally. By the way, I called Vivek last night very late, and I encouraged him. I said, keep your head up. You have a bright future. I want to do more with you. I really tried to build him up because I think he's did a great job. I really did. And by the way, I was a skeptic of him running from the beginning. And the skepticism was just the electoral part. And it turns out my skepticism was proven to be correct. But I totally missed the narrative shift. I did. I'll fully acknowledge. I totally missed how Vivek, without a doubt, moved the Overton window more than any other candidate, Trump even included, over the last 9 months. Vivek Ramaswamy went up on stage and he all of a sudden made it acceptable to talk about the great replacement. It's everywhere. It's done. The media can no longer destroy us on that. Vivek did that. Talks about getting rid of the RNC chair. He talks about all these different things in a articulate, charismatic, courageous, and forceful way. Let's play cut 42, please.
As I've said since the beginning, there are two America First candidates in this race. And earlier tonight, I called Donald Trump to tell him that I congratulated him on his victory. And now going forward, he will have my full endorsement for the presidency. And I think we're going to do the right thing for this country.
I love it. Why didn't Ron DeSantis do that? If Ron DeSantis is going to go get his clock cleaned again in New Hampshire, go spend more money so that it makes it harder for us to beat the Democrats? Nikki Haley, forget it. Waste of time. I have a lot of respect for that. That's not easy to do. Vivek thought he was going to do great in Iowa. It's not a good. He wasn't happy. He sucked it up. That's called leadership. I have a lot of respect for that. You don't get what you want. You put the country above. By the way, if Ron DeSantis would have went up on stage and endorsed Trump, I would have a completely different tone. And there's still money left in that bank account. Every day, Ron DeSantis is losing the respect of people like me. And I have so much. He has a great moral bank account and he is spending down that balance. He is spending down the moral bank account. And it really is maddening because I'm a cheerleader for the guy. I love going to Florida. What he's done there is amazing. But as every day goes on, I want to repeat what I said earlier. Every day that Nimarata and Ron DeSantis remain in this race is an in-kind multi-million dollar contribution to Biden and the Democrat Party. Every single day. Every day they remain in, the Democrats hope they could stretch this out. They want to maybe make it to South Carolina, maybe make it to Super Tuesday. Every day, we need to have Donald Trump the nominee, raise the capital, ballot chasers, election integrity, grassroots warriors, and end this primary once and for all. God bless you, Vivek. You made a huge difference, and I think your future is just getting started. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.